If you have a program, turn to Matthew 13 there inside the program, the second week. We're in the second week of Wild Fish, and we're looking at a story Jesus told. If I ask the question, some of your favorite fish stories of all time, I mean, there's been so many great stories about fish, I could think of a few of them. My infatuation with fish, I think, started with one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. Anybody? I wore that book out when I was a little kid, the old Dr. Seuss book. And I love that book. But my dad, I grew up fishing nearly every weekend at Burr Oak Lake and Dillon Dam Park in eastern, southern, east, southeastern Ohio. And there is some great fish stories through the years. How many of you have ever seen The Fish and Mr. Limpet with Don Knotts? Anybody ever seen that movie? It's an old movie. It's kind of ahead of its time. Don Knotts plays a guy who wanted to become, he dreamed of becoming a fish, and he did. Wasn't based on a true story. It was not based on a true story. How many of you ever seen On Golden Pond? That's a great fishing movie. The joys of just fishing on a pond, and who will ever forget Katharine Hepburn? Norman Thayer, don't you act like an old poop. Remember she said that? And that's real memorable. How many of you ever seen A River Runs Through It? When that movie was made, the interest in fly fishing went up and to the right. Of course, there's Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo is just full of gospel themes and truths. And I love that movie just for a lot of reasons. But the greatest fishing movie of all time is, of course, Jaws. I mean, there's no debate about that. You can almost smell the fish scent on Quint, can't you, throughout the movie. My daughter is just wonderful, and she got me this for Christmas. She was so excited. Dad, I can't wait to show you what I got you for Christmas. I'm going to show you what she got me for Christmas. Guys, you're going to pull in here. She got me shark socks for Christmas. Isn't that great? They even have the gills. You see the gills on them, you know? Ryan looked at those and goes, oh, those are scary, man. Those are nasty. But yeah, great fishing stories. And what we're doing is taking the amazing references, the immense references to fishing in this summer season that Jesus makes in the Gospels. Is, of course, a fishing community, a fishing culture that he lived in and taught in. And last week we began this series by saying, okay, let's take a look at the ichthus symbol and the fish symbol. And we began by saying, well, you know, and even ichthyologists say, even among any species of fish, you can really get two kinds of fish, okay? You can get the kind that live in an aquarium, and you know, these fish are taken care of. They can eat, reproduce with minimal effort. They don't face variation and challenge, is what ichthyologists call it. And so as a result, you know, they have an easy life, and these kinds of fish are what they call sensitive fish. They have very much a sensitivity to pH balances and temperatures. They are not very durable. If you've ever had aquariums, you know this to be true. But even among the same species of fish, they live in the ocean, and these are the wild fish. And because they constantly face variation and challenge, they have to look for food. It's not just handed to them. It's not just flaked down to them from the top. They are more robust and hardy. And so we're looking at this scripture where we're saying, okay, which do we want to be? Do we want to be mild fish or do we want to be wild fish? And there are just some series where you have to do this. You know, you have to, you know, most series we try to comfort the afflicted because most of us live very, very struggling lives. But there are some series we got to say, okay, we're here to afflict the comfortable. We're here to make sure that we're all very aware that the life that Jesus calls us to is not in a safe little aquarium. The life Jesus calls us to is swimming in the ocean, wild fish, wild fish. Last week I mentioned this quote from Pete Creamer, life shouldn't be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly shouting, wow, Lord, thank you, what a ride. And that's the idea. That we throw ourselves into this life that Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. And if you don't watch it, church can become this little aquarium, this little safe place where we just sort of stay so that we can live safe lives. And that's not what Jesus calls us into. Now, turn to this passage in Matthew 13. Because Jesus was all the time using pictures, word pictures, to describe what his mission was all about. And his mission was to bring the kingdom of God to earth, to bring heaven to earth. And look what he says in Matthew 13. We're just going to look at the first two verses of this today. And next week we're going to look at the last couple of verses. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. So remember this. Just picture this. Whenever you see that phrase, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, that is the effective range of the rule of God. The effective range of the rule of God. Say that with me. The effective range of the rule of God. So whenever you see that phrase, that's what the kingdom of God is. Whatever person, place, community, office, school, group, where God is in charge, the kingdom is there. His kingdom is ruling. And he compares it to a net that is sweeping throughout the world, sweeping throughout the sea. And this net, by its very nature, catches all kinds of fish. The kingdom of God, by its very nature, catches all kinds of attention, catches all kinds of interest, but also by its very nature, separates people. Because you see, this net represents God's leadership, God's absolute rule over someone. And some people don't want that. Some people don't want to be led. Some people don't want to be ruled. I'm going to do it my way, not God's way. And Jesus says in verse 48, when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. By its very nature, the kingdom of God separates people in the sense of who wants it and who doesn't really want it. Who's just playing around? Now, last week we talked about this wild fish idea, genus and species. Jesus also is using an imagery that's very common to fishermen. When I was about 6 years old, the warden at Dillon Dam State Park, I don't know if you've ever been to Dillon Dam State Park, and I was a kid, I always used to love to say, Dillon Dam, Dad, let's go to Dillon Dam, Dad. It's fun to say that. And when my dad and I were there, I was about 6 years old, and the warden there said, I caught what was a state record walleye. I was 6 years old. Never forget it. This is my fish story. This is my one that got away. But the spillway at Dillon Dam is really deep. And I pulled up this walleye. And I got it, I don't know, probably 10 or 15 feet from the top. My dad was mostly pulling it up. I was just acting like I was helping. And the line snapped. It snapped, and I lost. It was the one that got away. Everybody has the story of the one that got away. That, what would you call that fish if you were fishing and you're looking at the fish you caught? What would you call that? You would call that a keeper. That's a keeper. And you know when you're fishing, when you have a keeper and a fish that's not a keeper. Jesus is using imagery familiar to fishermen. These are keepers and not keepers. And the disciples would have been sitting there listening to this saying, I want to be a keeper. I want to be one of those fish that is caught in the net and kept as a keeper. This is an imagery that would have been very familiar to them. And that's what a wild fish is. Today is decision weekend. Next week's baptism weekend. That makes today decision weekend. This is the weekend where all of us, every single one of us, is confronted. Am I a keeper? Have I made the decision to make Jesus Christ the leader of my life? I am caught in the net of his leadership and rule. Or am I just playing around? I was thinking this week, wild fish have certain characteristics in life. Jesus' wild fish have certain characteristics in life. What did I do with my marker? Here it is. Wild fish. It's interesting about wild fish. People that are sold out to Christ. Let me show you a few things that they have. Wild fish have big hearts that are tender and thick skin. And by this, what I want to show you by this is, you know, wild fish, their scales are tough to penetrate, but they have tender hearts. This picture right here embodies Jesus. Jesus was a living paradox because he was tough and he was what else? Tender. He was tough and he was tender. This week I sat down and I said, okay, what did Jesus embody as the ultimate wild fish, as the ultimate keeper? What did Jesus embody? Here's the list that I came up with. Maybe you have your own list. Jesus Christ was fierce holiness. Fierce holiness. He intimidated a Roman garrison one time to the degree that they fell down in his presence. When he told Peter where to put his net, and Peter caught such a large group of fish that the net broke, Peter went to the ground and said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. I do not deserve to be in your presence. There was something about Jesus that was fiercely holy. Jesus was compassionate fearlessness. He cleansed the temple one time. And you know what made him angry? Mark's gospel tells us what made him angry. It wasn't that there was selling in the temple. It was where it was happening, in the court of the Gentiles. And basically, these Jewish merchants were saying, we don't care about the Gentiles or whether they come to God. And they were interrupting the worship of the Gentiles. And Jesus came in and said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations. Fiercely holy, compassionately fearless. He was powerful gentleness. In one scene, he's seen calming a storm. In the next scene, he is seen holding a baby. Jesus was stubborn faithfulness. He would not come down from the cross, even though he could have called 10,000 angels. He was stubbornly faithful. Jesus was peaceful purposefulness. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, Luke's gospel tells us. And though they would not welcome him because he set his face toward Jerusalem, he kept his face there. He was peaceful purposefulness with his life. He was purified worldliness. That's what he was. He was in the world, but not of the world. He said to his followers, you be salt, but don't lose your saltiness. And he was the ultimate salt out of the salt shaker into the meat, interrupting the decay. He was action-oriented prayerfulness. He said, I can only do what I see my Father doing. In his prayer, it led to action because he saw his Father. He was secure selflessness. He washed the feet of his disciples. What security and what selflessness there was in that. And he was submissive wildness. He said, Father, this is not what I want to do. You take this cup from me, but not my will. Your will be done. Jesus was a living paradox. He constantly showed a toughness and a tenderness. He lived them both. And one of the things you'll see in wild fish is that same paradox. Here's one other thing that Jesus was, that all wild fish embody this. Jesus swam against the current. Wild fish are single-minded. Wild fish are single-minded. They know, forgetting what is behind, pressing toward what is ahead, I reach to the goal of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. This embodies wild fish. Their spirits are not mild and tamed. They are wildly submitted in a single-minded purpose to say, I am a follower of Christ. James once said this, the brother of Jesus, he said, double-minded people are unstable in all they do. Graduates, if there's one thing I could tell you today, be single-minded. Be single-minded. Know who you are and whose you are and go in the direction of Christ with your life. I have shared this piece before, but it bears repeating with some alterations with this series. You remember this? I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed, the wild fish. I have Jesus Christ's power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, be still. My past is redeemed. My present is empowered. My future is secure. I'm finished. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, positions, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, praised, recognized, rewarded, or regarded. I now live by presence. I lean by faith. I love by patience. I live in prayer. I labor by power. My face is set. My gate is strong. My goal is heaven. My companions few. My guide reliable. My road narrow. My way is rough. My mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. I will not hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy. I will not ponder at the pool of popularity. And I will not. And I forgot what I will not. I will not ponder. I will not meander in the maze of mediocrity, he said, because I am a disciple of Christ. I must go till he comes, speak till all know, work till he stops, and when he comes to find his own, he will have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be very clear. I will be a wild fish. Is that you today? Is that you today? Is that you? I don't know about you, but that's not, I read that, I go over that, I have it in my Bible, I go over that all the time. I want to be that, and I'm closer to that than I used to be, but I had to make the decision to say the die has been cast, I've stepped over the line, the decision is made, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, that's who I am, that's the current of this world that I swim against for its very purpose. What about you? Because God is sweeping his net, and the very nature of this net separates keepers from non-keepers. And maybe you can say today, you know, I'm not there, but I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm not what I was. I'm growing in this because I made a decision to follow Christ. I won't look back. I won't let up until his work is done. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. Now today, you have on your chairs or near you a card that could determine your destiny. Could determine your destiny. And this card is a baptism card. For many of you, how you fill out this card may determine whether you're a keeper or not. May determine whether you're one that when Jesus Christ comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing you because you clearly swam in his direction. You trusted in him even when the current wasn't easy. And I'm going to challenge you today to be the one who takes a pen or a pencil. You fill this out. You can leave it at the communion table. You can leave it at Southbrook Central. You can leave it with someone at the welcome counter. We have places where you can go. Southbrook Central, you can go there to be prayed for. We'll take you every step of the way, but join with the others next weekend in doing what Rob did today, and that basically says, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be one of his wild fish. Let's bow our heads and let's pray that that happens before we go. Lord Jesus Christ, you didn't come in to this world to go with the flow. You said, while I am in the world, I am not of the world, and the world hates me. What a weekend for us to honor our graduates, but also to challenge them to be single-minded, to be living paradoxes of Christ, the wild fish. Because life wasn't meant to be lived mildly, but to live wildly submissive to your will and to your way. Father, it's so easy in church for this to become a safe aquarium where we come. There's no accountability to whether we follow up on what we hear. Only you know. And today, by your Spirit, may you afflict the comfortable among us. May you afflict us. If we are satisfied with being anything less than living, paradoxical, single-minded, wild fish followers, because this world needs it and the heart demands it. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for calling us. I thank you that though we're not what we ought to be, we're not what we were, that we are growing and living more and more like Jesus Christ in our world. Don't give up on us, Lord. Lead on as we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day, everyone.